Do you know, it's really warm in the studio. It's already, I'm feeling a little bit warm, and I'm guessing you guys will be as well. Phil Jordan's in, especially at your age, 66. Yeah. Happy birthday for a couple of weeks ago.
Well, thanks, Ian.
You don't look 66.
No, I don't tell everyone I'm 66 either.
Oh, well, sorry, I have. I can't take it back. And looking a lot cooler and a lot younger is Paul Herbert from Island Rose. Afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, afternoon. Very well, thank you. And, yeah, it's just bearable here sitting in front of the fans. So hopefully the noise doesn't come through the microphone too much for the listeners. But, yeah, good. Thanks for having us back.
No problem. Give it half an hour and it'll be warm in here, all the hot air that's going about. And you've got Gavin in as well, but he hasn't got a speaking part. So, you know, he's there in the corner behaving himself. Look, zipped up. And Bex is here as well, and Bex might chip in from time to time. The question. So, you know, last time we spoke, Arrowton was about to be finished and there was progress. Since then, you guys have told me all sorts of stuff that's going on with, you know, what's happening and when it's going to happen in and around Newport. What's currently going on at the moment, Paul?
Yeah, we've got plenty going on. The intense programme continues. Lushington Hill, for example, is works going on, preparation, and I think at the end of this week, weather dependent, we'll be doing that for a few days. The work's going up through Whippenham Main Road, Staplers going through. So major routes on the island, we're trying to fit those in, as we said, increased. I mean, that's what people see, but we're also doing footways. So I think we've got probably up to about 8 or 10 gangs now doing footways, street lighting programmes ongoing. And so, yeah, work is really ramping up as we said it would. And yes, that causes some, as we discussed last time, some inconvenience and disruption. But actually the benefits and what we've learned from last time is communication. So we're trying to up our game and get communication right, maybe make some more connections with people, yourself. So it's good to hear you're getting the updates, because I think last time we spoke, you weren't. So hopefully we get those updates and get the messages out that we, you know, we are here, we are improving, we're doing what we need to. So yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, the updates are really, really important. And they're vital, and you know, I'm now thinking I now know what's going on in and around Newport, because as well as doing this, you know, I am a road user as well, which is great news. Now I want to put you on the spot, but feel free if you don't want to answer, because I know you're a gentleman, and I know that last time we spoke you were talking about the problems that you may have had in and around a certain area. I think it's the road that you're just about to do now, maybe, and you've got issues like you know, people chopping down trees and things like that. Do you want to go into that, because these are everyday problems that you have, and you think that, you know, it just brings it just makes it a little bit clearer, the problems that you have, and maybe then people will have a bit more of an understanding how difficult the job is.
Okay, yeah, it's a difficult job, but actually it's not that difficult to communicate. So for me, it's about getting the right message out there. And I think where we are is we're in investigation mode on that site. And you didn't mention the name, but Undercliff, you know, we're on the site, we're looking at the work, we're investigating.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Sorry, no, misunderstanding. I meant someone's trees. The road that you're just about to do, I think it's Wootton Road, isn't it?
It's a new one on me.
Is it? Is he sidestepping that one? Because I'm thinking,
that's a genuine,
hang on a bit.
Genuine.
Right,
I haven't
okay.
heard anything on trees.
No, that's all right. Okay, because I didn't want to put you on the spot, because I know it was awkward. We'll talk about that in a break, because, you know, maybe we've got our wires crossed. And what I don't want to do is put you on the spot and make it awkward for you. Everyone's, like, looking and thinking, what's going on then? Nothing at all. But, I say, I don't want to put you on the spot. I think, if you just cast your minds back, though, I think you said something about some trees that want to be cut down, and some guy said, why should I have to do that? And you said something along the lines of, well, if you don't, we'll have to do it and we'll bill you. But I don't, you know, say again, I hope that made you feel
no, I'm now with you.
I just want to make the point of just how blimmin' difficult it can be.
Yeah, those sites are difficult, and you know, we go around and we're undertaking our works. We need to maintain the network, and that comes with network management, if you like, the custodianship of the network. So you can't just put scaffolding up, you can't just put something on the highway, you can't obstruct it, you can't just dig it up. There's certain requirements that the people, the contractors and third parties, homeowners, need to abide by in terms of council rules, not in terms of Island Roads rules, but across all councils' authorities, you have to maintain safety on the network. Part of that is if you have trees, as we were talking about, that come into from third-party land and come in and interact into the highway, cause safety risks and concerns, needs to be dealt with. It's not the council, the authority, or Island Road's responsibility to do that. It's the homeowner. It's general maintenance around in your house and your property. You know, take that as far as ditches, riparian ownership in terms of ditches. If there's a ditch in front of your property, likelihood is you have a responsibility. You may not know you did, but you do. And it's trying to raise the awareness. So we're having campaigns. We're linking in with the Isle of Wight Council. council for a Ditch It campaign that reminds people and advises people what their responsibilities are.
Brilliant.
And actually the benefits of doing that, you know, if you maintain ditches, then you get reduced flooding, you know, the water's got somewhere to go, it contains it in the right place. So it is for the benefit. Whilst it looks like we're trying to enforce something, it's for the benefit of the island and the residents as a whole.
Okay, so that the road that we were kind of talking about there is the Wootton Road at Whippingham, and that's all going to take place very soon, weather permitting.
Sure, I mean, that was done. I mean, to be fair, that was part of a diversion route for Whippingham. So Whippingham has been done. The lines are back and road studs are back down, and that's a lovely piece of road there into East Cowell. So no, that's all completed. Another
excellent
one. So you blink and we get them done.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it is coming around fast and furious now, Phil, isn't it? I mean, it was kind of you know, most people would have thought it was a slow start, but everywhere you look now, there's something kind of going on, and it's going to happen. So
yeah, Ian, you're absolutely right. It's well over a year ago when we first started talking about this. Island Roads had yet to breathe the vengeance into the road surfacing and road building that they've done since, and we were in a different place, but things have moved and things have changed. We are getting some work done. Island Roads are getting more and more main roads done, more and more of our side roads done, more and more of the other work on the network, and it's good to see. I'm also pleased to say, Ian, that with your help and other media help, people are generally being more accepting of some of the disruptions that are occurring, and that was quite important for us. And we've had some pretty good positive feedback from Arrowton about the work that was done there, and even with the disruptive problems we had through God's Hill. Most people now are beginning to realise, because they can see some of the better roads, there is an end to this, there is a purpose, and these small disruptions for a small period of time are going to benefit us on this island long term after these disruptions are finished.
It's a long term thing. It's obviously going to take a bit of time, but people can see the results now, and I'm guessing that's why they're, you know, probably feeling a little bit more positive. If they weren't, we did have a suggestion for you. Okay, the
right
suggestion is quite
go on
simple.
Then.
Come on, Beck. So, what the suggestion was.
Well, we thought actually what you should do is basically send the whole of the Isle of Wight on holiday for a couple of months somewhere. And we thought we could actually do something good with this. You could send us to Greece. You know, if you go over there with pockets full of euros, help Greece out, and you get the whole island to yourself for a couple of months. What do you think?
It's a good idea, but you know, our economy would collapse, wouldn't it, if everyone left the island?
Oh yeah,
been no one here.
We would become Greece, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
All right. But obviously, you're turning the corner, and people now are kind of cottoning onto the fact that yes, this needs to be done, and yes, there will be a little bit of upheaval and so on. So, I mean, that's good to know. Do you get less aggravation now, though?
Well, this is very subjective, but I do. That's what I'm saying. I do sense that I'm getting less objections, less emails, less contact from residents concerning. It's just less. It hasn't entirely stopped, but you know, a lot less. So I'm very encouraged by that.
I still talk to people, Paul. It's incredible. I still talk to people that are still, you know, they moan and they groan, because you're always going to get them. You're always going to, no matter how good the system is, you're always going to get some people that moan and groan. But what really irritates me is they're so out of the loop when it comes to it. We mentioned something, I think it was earlier this year, about 4 months ago, about the fact that you at some point in the contract, you had to, when you did a road, you had to do something like 166 square metres. It's all you could do with one road. There was some machinery would then kick in and say, right, you got to go somewhere else now, even if you were like halfway down the road or three quarters of the way down the road. And you know, it was absolutely ludicrous. But what is really irritating is people don't know that, or they just assume that, oh, that's your fault. No, that's what the contract says. The contract was written up by, you know, other people many years ago, and obviously now you're in the process of rewriting that. But the sad thing is there's still people out there, and hopefully they're becoming smaller and smaller. You know, less and less of these people are actually, you know, they've got these details, they've got it into their head that that's what you're up to now. But that's changed, hasn't it?
It does change. Yes, the contract is there to be followed, and the best intent. So, you know, with the best intent, the contract was written. You have to start somewhere with an intent of this is what we would like you to do. Bear in mind, it's 15 times more work than the island has ever seen. So, actually, how do you interpret that? You know, whether you're putting a contract together or whether you've got expectations of how that's going to be delivered. So, you have aspirations for what you want, and ultimately, 7 years, everything's upgraded. So, there's the end goal. How you get there, we could take various routes. A route was chosen. For sure, it says about 250 or 500 metre lengths, typically, was the size of the road sections that we were doing. That's what we needed to do. That has led to resident frustration. It's led to my frustration. And I know Councillor Jordan, it leads to his frustration as well. So we are in dialogue to say, is there a different way of doing this? How can we put together longer sections? So we've trialled it going through the first part of this year, where we've tried our best to stitch together these sections. So Whippenham Road, Arrowton, excuse me, Staplers, and we're putting those together. So we're doing whole lengths or longer lengths of road. We have to be mindful that there is a contract to be met, but we're also mindful we need to be just demonstrating that actually the public perception goes up when you're doing whole road sections rather than doing this bit and missing that bit. And I think that's given some confidence that we can do it. It's given confidence that actually it has no major effect. You still, by the end of the 7 years, will get what you expected to have. And therefore, that confidence is growing, and from the council and from the residents. And I think that sort of groundswell there will help come to the right decision on how we flex the contract to still deliver what we want, but more importantly, how we want it. And I say how we want it as a resident, not just as a business or as a council, but how we want it to be there. And that's the important piece. So I think, there's great moves to get it where we need it to be.
Now, Gavin updated me a little while ago, so I asked a question about the, because I don't the road in and around the Riverway Industrial Estate, I think it's called, isn't it? And it's absolutely dreadful. In a car, it's awful. On a motor scooter, it's even worse. But we've got the updates, and I think that's happening. Is it next year or the year after? How do you then work out which roads you are actually going to do? And then I was looking at Wimbledon at the weekend. I'm thinking, right, they've got all those things there, and all of a sudden on a Sunday, it all comes to a climax and finishes. Okay, what they didn't have this time was a load of rain to mess things up. You've obviously got that over a period, not just 2 weeks, but over a period of 7 years. So you've got to dodge the showers and get the job done. So how do you work out which routes you're going to do?
Okay. The industry will assess the condition of their assets, and that's across all assets, not just carriageway. Predominantly, we talk about carriageway, so I'll focus on that. A machine scanner comes round and scans, records x-rays, if you like, in layman terms, the condition of the carriageway. Not just what you see, the cracks, actually it does what's underneath it in the structural integrity of the road formation. It will also look at skid resistance. So although a road looks nice and smooth, if it's polished, it doesn't give you the braking. So when you put your foot on the brake, it doesn't react as it should do. All of those aspects are taken into consideration. Pumped into a black box, comes out with an answer and said, these ones are this condition, these ones are that condition. And it's industry standard that we follow. That's all taken into consideration. We fix that into how the contract expected us to undertake the work, and then we do them in those sections. What we're trying to do now is expand on that so that we have longer sections. But you can appreciate, if you take parts of, even if we said Fairlie Road, there's parts of Fairlie Road that you would say, that must be soon because it doesn't look very good. There's other parts of Fairlie Road you'd look at and go, but that doesn't look too bad. But I'll only end up doing parts of everything, and that's not good. So that's where we're trying to join it up and do the bits that aren't so good with the bits that are good equally across the entire island. Because remember, the districts, the island split into six districts. It has four different types of roads: your main roads, down to urban, rural roads, and then your real rural tracks. Each of those in each six districts needs to be uplifted and upgraded equally across the island for the 7 year period. So actually, you know, it's easy to look at from a distance to say, well, why not do that one? But actually, the programme we need to follow is not as straightforward.
Is there a road that you get more complaints about? And if more people complain about it, does it get put higher up on the list of jobs to do?
I would say, in a way, yes. That's not encouraging listeners and residents to ring in and say, I want this road done. It's not based on the number of complaints we get. It will be based on a number of information sources. The scan survey, we know the condition of it. If we get repeated defects, when potholes, cracking, undulations come in, if we get a lot of those, that will also inform a programme. Things can deteriorate, certainly through the winter. If the winter, frost heave, rain gets in, frost start, roads start breaking up, they are the worst roads in the entire country in some instances, and that's why the project's here. So they don't take a lot of cold weather to fall apart. We look at that, we assess it, we assess continually on an inspection. So I have district stewards that go around and inspect the roads and other assets. And if they find something that's not right, we look at bringing that forward. And when we say we pull it forward, actually, you need to bear in mind that there is notice periods that we need to give. So in terms of utility companies, we have to block them out for and give them notice for 3 months. Otherwise, they can come and dig it up. And so it's all of those bits that go into making this program as efficient as we make it. But actually, there's a lot of outside influences, as well as weather, that can scupper our best endeavours.
Do you know what? You sound like super cool. And nothing sort of flusters you at all, because just say, for instance, I know Phil's a bit fiery at times. If you keep saying, oh, so-and-so roads, you're going to say, I know it is. We're going to get there, all right? Don't keep on about it. But there must be one road that really, people more than ever that say to you, Paul, when are you going to sort this blooming road out? It's the worst one on the island.
They do, and I suppose you could say you can't please all of the people all of the time. Marshcombe Chute, for example, was a very poor road. Arrowton, the number of calls and complaints and defects that came on that road. We are picking some of the worst roads and we are repairing those roads. And so we're stitching them together, they're longer lengths. So I'm hoping that those people who are affected by those routes are ringing in now and giving us compliments via the website. And those who keep complaining, we will be there in 7 years. It's that period of time, or 5 years that are left of the upgrade. It will take 7 years. That was done for a reason, because of the sensitivity to tourism on the island. And it's that expectation. It will take as long as it takes, and we will get there. And when we're there, we'll probably get the criticisms. I didn't want you there on that day or that night. But, we've got to undertake the work, and that disruption comes through better communication. So I'd like to think, as Phil retorted there, is about complaints, or communications about what we do on a PFI are dropping down. I think it's twofold. One, we're doing more work. People can see we're doing more work. And two, we're communicating better. Always do more, but
we must be doing it.
So, we're getting there. And as I said, this is a lesson for the community, the whole island, to actually work together and go, this is something good for the island.
Okay, just obviously, because I was under the misapprehension that it's going to be done in 25 years. It's going to take 25 years to do. But all of the island roads will be done in 7, and then it's a case of you maintaining them. That's correct, isn't it?
Not just roads. Roads, footways, bridges, structures, streetlights, drainage. The list goes on. All of it, the intention is over the 7-year period, core investment period, the assets will be upgraded to a standard that is defined in the contract. Once it's there, I'll maintain it for the 18 years thereafter.
So when is the 7 years up?
2020.
So in 5 years' time, they'll all be great and lovely. It ain't too long to wait, considering the size of the job, because the job was massive.
Well,
and you'll still be alive, hopefully.
Stop it. Paul's mentioned this before. I think it's about 780 miles on the road. And
804 kilometres.
That's right. 756
kilometres of footway.
Roads that we're going to do. And something like two-thirds are more rural roads, not the hierarchy one.
Yes, 69% is rural roads. Or as we call it, rural, but hierarchy four. So that the lowest travelled roads, about 100 kilometres would be your primary route. And so if you like, the split of work that we've undertaken, to give you some concept of that, is about 30-60, and we've done about 30% of the main roads and urban roads, and we've done about 60% of the rural roads. So it shows that there's that level match across the island.
And Ian, that's very important, that, because the criticisms come in that you're doing the side roads and you're not doing the main roads. We've heard that criticism time and time again, and the fact is the roads on our island are in that proportion, and the contract says to Island Roads, go and rebuild and resurface in that proportion. So we will do more side roads than main roads. Mm.
And doesn't it not make sense as well, because if you're doing a main road, you need the side roads as diversion, surely. So if the side roads are in a terrible condition and you're diverting tons of traffic down there.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot, you know, the island is not blessed. Yeah, the island is not blessed with a number of routes. So when we close routes, main roads, side roads, you know, and even in commuter routes, if you call it that, that locals will know to take. Those roads don't have a multitude of other locations you can go to. You know, the traffic goes. That's a lesson learnt at Arrowton, and you know, the extensive dialogue was done with Arrowton and the residents and those affected on it and businesses. Actually, maybe not too much was done in terms of Godshill and how we inform them about the closures and what impact that may or may not have. And those lessons have been learned. And so we look now where we're diverting traffic. What do we do with it? Who do we talk to? And so, you know, that net of communication widens.
Sure. Have you noticed that Phil gets more agitated and aerated than you? Because I like that. It's passionate, isn't it? But you obviously have heard this so many times. You know, this road needs doing, that road needs doing, all the time, and moaning and groaning. It must be so frustrating for you, but at the same time, to now actually see that this is actually coming to fruition, it's happening, and it's a lot better than it was. There must be a change of atmosphere out there, aren't there?
There is, Ian.
Good.
And we are trying as an authority and as administration to be positive about this contract as well. There are problems with it. There are still problems with it. We're working on those. They are affecting both Paul's work and the authority's delivery of service to the residents. But the better part is that the road's getting done. It's looking better. And what a joy to ride on. What an absolute joy when you go down the length of road. Where's the longest bit of road now? Whippingham, probably.
I've been on that.
It's quite quiet. Even the noise is lovely. It's smooth. It's just nice.
Do you know what? I was on there, Phil, a few weeks ago. And I'm going on this road and I'm thinking, how lovely is this? And I'm on the scooter. So the scooter, you feel, you know, the bump's more, and obviously in a car. And I got to the end of it and the scooter conked out. And I thought to myself, Blooming Island Roads.
Did you have to push it home, Ian?
Yeah, I did.
It'd be easier to push it on a smooth road than it is on a bumpy one.
It was. You need people to send money in for fuel, Ian.
Oh dear! No, it's good to see you guys. And what I like about the fact that you come in and you talk about it and you answer any question, and I think that's a good thing. I think the communication thing needs to be out there. And I say, since the last time you come in, I've spoken to so many people that have, yes, they do ask these silly questions, and yes, they're still under the misapprehension of things. And you kind of put them, and you kind of get frustrated. I get frustrated for you, Phil, when people say, oh yeah, but they're only allowed to do half a road, but those things they're changing, they're forever changing, because obviously it's what's in the contract. Are you currently, can you say what you're actually working on at the moment? Because obviously this contract is changing all the time, isn't it?
In terms of contract, Ian, I won't go into specifics, but there are numbers of issues.
Do you have to be careful when you talk? Because obviously,
because it's a confidentiality of a commercial provider. They need to protect their own commerciality. Right. So, and there's an agreement in the contract that it will be as well. So I will be very careful about what we let go. But it isn't a secret. There are problems with the contractual clauses. We are talking about them. And we are having sensible and progressive discussions about those. And I'm hopeful that we'll come to a joint arrangement at some point. I'm hopeful.
Okay, which is good news, and obviously people say, "Well, why can't you talk about it?" Well, you can't talk about it for legal reasons.
There are numbers involved. There are costs. If we were to divulge sums of money that isn't what we're talking about. But sums of money that could identify what our service provider charges, and therefore if they were tendering elsewhere, their competitors would have an idea of their rates and so on and so on. You have to be very careful about this, you know, broadcasting this kind of information.
Sure.
But as far as I can be opening, as you know, I'll tell you what you want to know in as far as I'm able to.
So is it progressing all of the time? Is it, or do you get to a point where, right, okay, we've got everything in this contract, it's now sorted, we can now take control? Or is it a case of, right, we have to wait until year five till we can talk about that? Or is it being dealt with now?
Now, look, Ian, the way the contract was written has led to some confusion and some contention between the service provider and the authority. those things are not insurmountable, but they are issues that need to be resolved, and that's what we're trying to deal with.
Okay, I fully understand that, and I just want to make a reference of it. You know, this was something that was inherited by the latest council, and is it like adopting a child? Do you have to love it? Right, because it's not really yours, is it? But you've got to love it anyway.
Well, that's quite an interesting analogy, isn't it? How I see it from my perspective is I've got a job to do. I'm part of the administration, I'm executive on the administration. Part of my responsibility is to try and manage for our authority, not operationally, but strategically and policy-wise, the PFI contract. So part of that job is to work with Paul and his team. That's part of it. The other part is to try and sort out the parts of the contract that are not very good. And it's not just the authority saying they're not very good. They're not working for Paul either.
No, sure.
So they're, you know, we both have an interest in resolving this, finishing that contention and those areas of... It's not conflict, but areas that are causing concerns, and let's move on. Let's get the other 5 years of rebuilding and resurfacing done, and in 18 years of making sure it stays the same.
I mean, it's brilliant that you. I mean, let's just highlight it because I think too many people moan about councillors and what the blooming council are up to next, and they just use that term and they say it and it comes out of their mouth, and you think, do you actually know what you're talking about? There's you. You're 66 years old. Sorry to go banging on about, but how wonderful is it that you've been a councillor for what two and a half years?
Two years.
And you've been given this role, and you're doing such a blooming good job. I mean, is he doing a good job, Paul? Is he good to work with, or would you think, would you prefer someone different?
Oh, that's putting him on the spot. Yeah, thanks.
Yes. In terms of where we are in the council and the frustrations, I have some empathy with the current administration in terms of what they're trying to deliver under austerity cuts across the whole piece, and that all has an effect on the services we provide and how we provide them. That wasn't the case when this contract was put together. You know, it was, this is where it is, you know, the money comes from government, but actually things move on, and so we need to, you need to flex the contract to fit and you know, the budgets that are available, and so yes, as politicians answer for you, yes, Phil's good to work with, yes, he's challenging, he's doing exactly what he should be doing, and he asks the right questions. So in terms of residents' point of view, he gives me a hard time, but actually it's for the benefit of the island, and actually you can see that coming out. So I think, yeah, there's a balance. There needs to be a win-win. We need to be getting the project done, and we need to do it within the restrictions and restraints we have. So yeah, all in all, I think it's a good working relationship, and we're building on that.
Excellent.
In terms of where Phil's come in as an executive recently, there's been a lot of pressure on the PFI in terms of people's perception, and I think we've worked together jointly to deliver that message, and sitting here in front of you again today, that's part of it, is making sure that we get the right messages out.
That's good, because I mean joking aside, I can see you two, you've got body language there and you get on, it's not a problem. When you know that in the past you've had a council leader, I don't want to keep harping on about the past, but it's nice to know that we're both comfortable with what we're doing as you two. You think, right, David Pugh and Andrew Turner and never got on, so that meant that there was going to be some kind of issues, and maybe we're not stepping forward in the way that we should. And it's reassuring for me, it's reassuring for those people listening, and every islander here that is worried and concerned about the roads, that the two people that are supposedly pulling together are working together, and they're not like, oh, I don't like him. Because Phil's quite difficult at times. He gets I'm joking, but what I'm trying to say. It's refreshing.
No, no comment.
It's refreshing to hear.
Well, I'm not, Ian, thanks for that. And a little bit of backstab, because in fairness to Paul, when I do ask him about things, he responds positively. Nothing is, we can't do it. It will look at something. If we can't do it, we can't do it. But he responds positively. That's encouraging to me. And as you know, I'm quite prepared and do, not only with Paul up at the PFI, but in our administration, I do get my point across. I think we need to have a bit of passion.
Absolutely.
A bit of concern, a bit of wishing to do better for our island, for our residents. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'm really not afraid to say that, and I'm afraid if it's sometimes you have to raise your voice and maybe even tap the table lightly, then I'll do that, and I have done it, and I'll continue to do it.
Okay, well, I just want to bring in Bexley. Just move yourself a little bit closer to the microphone, because I'm going to ask you a question.
Me?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question, because obviously, we had, if you remember, a couple of months ago, we had a discussion, and we were talking about Island Roads, and you was having a bit of a moan and a groan, and there were certain things that you were weren't happy about, and I kind of said, "Hey, yeah, but did you know this? And did you know that?"
And I didn't.
And now you, I think we've done a an interview with Phil before, but you haven't met Paul. How do you feel now? I'm just gonna ask you. They're here now, and obviously you're going to be honest, because this lady is honest. If she don't like something, she will tell you. Okay, so
I think I've heard everything, and like you said, communication is everything. And I think the more people know, the more relaxed they are about stuff. My frustration for me, and is I live in Binstead, and it's if like the main road one way into Newport is blocked, and then the main road the other way into Newport is blocked, and then you're like, could we not just have one at a time? That kind of scenario. But then I realise, so I'm probably answering the question here, that it's not you. It could be BT, or it could be the water, or it could be this, that, and the other. But it's just sometimes you wish there was kind of a match up, so that. That if they're laying their fibre or whatever or something like that, it's done roughly at the same time, so you haven't got Staplers being dug up and Fairley being dug up, you know, those two roads. I mean, do you have many people kind of moaning about that?
I'm one of them, to be fair. I'll step up to the plate for most of the issues that we have, and that still sits with me as well.
Yeah.
Part of road work and street works coordination sits within my business, so we also manage and look out for utility works, developer works, whilst we can control them in terms of what they need to do, when they're going to do it. If we've undertaken some surfacing works, we can block them out for a period of time, because it's new work, you don't want it dug up. They do have a legal right to be able to come in for new connections and to do emergencies, and emergencies in that definition is where you need to have a provision of supply or suppliers interrupted to a third party. You know, they have a legal right to come in, we can't stop them doing that. So whilst we try and get the plan works, we did so down at Palance Road. If you look at Palance, we the big gap in the middle that was left for a period of time last time we were in, and BT were in there doing some works prior to us surfacing it, and then the logic is that we do that and then we're out the way, and that's joined up working, and we need to see more of that. And I'm pleased to say that we meet regularly with the utilities, that does happen, and they are improving. But yes, as much as we can coordinate the road work so we don't try and scupper the you know routes that are available into and into any place, there is always that risk that you'll have an emergency work which they have the obligation to go in and do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if there's a gas leak, you don't want them to kind of leave it, do you, just so you can get to work 5 minutes earlier. But the other thing I think is on a lot of our minds as well, people who live on that route, is the Wooden Bridge thing. Mm-hmm. You know, have you got any news on that for anybody?
I'll tell you what, it's a great question. What we do is we'll take a break and we'll come back.
Oh, will we?
Yeah, because it's blooming hot in here, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll come back, we'll talk Wooden Bridge, and we'll talk what's on the go at the moment as well. And that is in a couple of moments' time.
I'm Maggie Curry, established freelance coach. My work impacts lives and is a catalyst for life-changing experiences. I work with clients to encourage them to step out of their comfort zone, rediscover passions and be themselves. Calm and in control of my own life, I have more than a decade's experience in coaching and will help you build the foundations for your future. Get in touch today to find out how my inspirational coaching can transform first you and then your life. Contact me via my website, www.maggiecurry.co.uk, or through the Vectis Radio website.
The Castle St Helens. Superb self-catering accommodation in St Helens, open all year, just a short walk from the beach. Full details, including availability and offers, can be found on our website at www.sthelenscastle.co.uk. It's also the perfect place to book if you have relatives coming to visit you on the island, with special rates available for bookings made from Isle of Wight addresses. Contact us on www.sthelenscastle.co.uk or on 01983 875 993, that's 875 993, to book your perfect getaway on the Isle of Wight. Also see the Facebook page for the castle for more details. White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
White Fibre, the island's fastest broadband. But don't just take our word for it. Here's James Pickett from Arriton.
Setting up costs was reasonable. The people who came to do it came when they said they would, and did what they said they'd do. It's fast, and it's a revelation to someone who's had spent 10 years down a one megabit BT line.
Get the island's fastest broadband free for 12 months. Call 240240.
Whitefibre.com.
24-month contract required. Faster speeds available in all cabled areas.
Hello there, I'm Andy from Hamilton's Fine Foods, and I'd like to introduce you to some of the new things that are happening in Hamilton's. Our newest venture is our new shop in Dodner Industrial Estate, where we have available hot sausage rolls, hot coffee, hot pies, and all sorts of other things for your lunch. We're open from 10 till 4 daily. If you're working in and around Dodner Industrial Estate, please call in.
Hamilton's Fine Foods. You'll find them on Dace Way and Pyle Street in Newport, also in Wootton and Cowes too.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots, lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets' needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Value Rent-A-Car, based in Sandown on the Isle of Wight. It's a secure online car hire booking service. We provide a low-cost, fully inclusive professional car hire and minibus hire service. We have cars available for rental from under £21 a day if booked and paid for in advance. We take no payments online. Our vehicle rentals are based on a full 24-hour period. Collect at 11 a.m, return by 11 a.m. the next day. Go to www.value-rentacar.co.uk or phone 01983 401 333. That's 01983 401 333.
Cats Protection and Ride has been caring for and homing cats on the Isle of Wight since 1961. Every year we help hundreds of island cats find their new forever homes. If you are thinking of adopting a new feline friend, then come along to the Isle of Wight Adoption Centre and we'll be happy to help you. We have cats of all ages, colours and personalities, so we can find a cat for you. Find us in Marlborough Ride or check out our website isleofwight.cats.org.uk for more information. We're open Wednesday to Sunday 10 till 4 with late opening on Fridays till 7. Our cats can't wait to come home with you.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, this is Vectis Radio.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, welcome back. Part two. We've got the gang in from Island Rose. We've got Paul Herbert in, and we've also got Phil Jordan, who is a councillor. And what's your title, Phil? Not that you're big on
executive
titles.
Executive member for public protection and the PFI.
Okay. And let's point out again, you've only been in the job, what, 2 years? You've voted in as a councillor, and there you are. You've taken it upon yourself to get involved. And you are. You're doing a blooming good job. I really admire what you've done. And, I really get quite hacked off. I know you said something else then. When people, have a go at Phil Jordan, have a go, the blooming council. But sometimes it's we all sort of just, I don't know, we were talking about the blame game. It's easier to blame than find the answers, the real answers. So we're going to ask that question. Bex asked a question about Wootton Bridge. What's happening with Wootton Bridge? Is it really as bad as what we think?
I don't know how bad people think it is in terms of the people's perception, trying to stay on the...
Well, can I say, my mum said, don't go down there.
Okay.
Oh, that's bad.
If I'm honest, it is interesting, because I had a phone call the other day saying, oh, the road is blocked and it's down to one lane over Wootton Bridge. It transpires there's another Wootton Bridge and it was on the A3. And so just coincidentally, that had been an accident and that happened.
It's
but,
not that bridge that's got the crack, is it?
No, it's not. Unfortunately, no, it's not. So in terms of where we are, Wootton Bridge, part of our role and responsibility, there's 200 structures on the island, 600 retaining walls. I also have responsibility for maintaining and managing those. There are certain aspirations in the contract to upgrade all structures that we have to a 40-ton weight limit. Now, we might decide in terms of discussions that not all structures need to be up to a 40-ton weight limit, and so there's some benefit in discussions we're having there, for example. Wootton Bridge itself had a programme to upgrade it, to bring it up to standard. The parapets... The problem with parapets being the edge restraints, if you like, the containment of vehicles to stop them going in. But because they're nice brick sort of balustrade effect, that doesn't comply with current standards. So for example, that would need to be a departure from standard, and we're in discussion with trying to get that upgraded. So there are already works planned. You know, as I said, the roads were the worst in the country. That's why the PFI is here. The assets also need to be upgraded, and the structures alike. We undertake regular inspections in accordance with industry standards, and we go and assess the load capacities and everything else with the structures on the island. It's shown up that there's some deficiencies in terms of the calculations that are used to assess that structural integrity, and therefore we need to do something about it. At the moment we're still assessing it. There's a number of ways that you can calculate the efficiencies of that particular structure and the strengths of it. There's some defects that we need to calculate and assess to say, well, is it going to fail? When's it going to fail? And you know, what's the likelihood? And we have to debate those. And so we're having regular dialogue and conversations about what we need to do. Be under no illusion, we know where that bridge is. We know it's the importance, if you like, to the island and where vehicles and what type of vehicles use it. And we're working hard to try and do as much as we can to keep it free-flowing. But at the same time, we do need to maintain public safety. The last thing you want is any injury and failure of that structure with people on top of it. So we're doing the right thing. It's not through any fault of any maintenance. It's the age of the structure. I suppose, luckily for the island, I have the responsibility to fix it within the contract. Where would we be without that? Is a question, and that probably relates back to you know, 20% of the network has and was restricted in some way prior to the PFI, so all of that's upgrading will help.
Would it be fair to say, you know, that bridge is used by an awful lot of big trucks, big companies, and should they chip in for, you know, some of the repairs on it?
I suppose if I speak on behalf of the hauliers, and I'm sure they'll do that themselves, they pay an inordinate amount or an expensive amount of monies in terms of tax duties and liabilities for that size vehicle. So in terms of government and DFT, they make those charges and they impose those charges, and that's where that funding comes from to for such things like the project, the PFI. So, you know, in a way, they probably are chipping in and paying more than you would typically for a car user.
I'm glad you've explained that, because obviously there will be people out there that will be thinking, here, hang on a minute, they should be you know, chipping in a little bit. I mean, there's large companies like Tesco making loads of money. I mean, it's one little bridge that they can help out with. Phil, I reckon we should tap them up, don't you?
Yeah, it would be good, wouldn't it? We thought about it, don't worry. We thought about it. We dream up. I wake up in the middle of the night with schemes and dreams to get some money into our kitty. We can't raise taxes locally. That's the sad truth of it.
Right.
We just can't tax locally.
Could we do, like, you know, like when you do the church roof type thing? Could you do a Wootton Bridge fundraiser?
That might be an idea. We could put a bucket at the start of the big. It'd have to be a big one, because I expect we'll be getting lots of money.
Or what you could do is just say, right, we're going to close it. You have to go round, and you're going to pay a lot more with, you know, petrol.
That's
I know that'll be an hard couple of months.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. I'll support you on that. I think that's a good idea.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I'll go across that bridge on the top.
I don't know, actually. Make it a toll bridge.
So when... crikey, that's not a good idea. Islanders would freak out, wouldn't they?
Go.
They would, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
How far are we away from finding out and maybe getting it, you know, so it's like a completed job down on Wootton? Is it, you know, people of Wootton must be a little bit concerned, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And in terms of routes in, you know, it'll affect me as well. But in terms of where we are, we're doing what we can. Where we are now is we know the condition. We know the issues that are on the structure. What we're trying to do is assess how that can be interim measures that we can impose on that structure to make it better than it is for a period of time. And then that would allow us to get in and do some permanent repairs, which will upgrade it. The whole priority that we've had, and Councillor Jordan has been quite open with that, is it's staying open. We've got to keep it open. We've got to do as much as we can to it. And we're working hard to do that. And where we can, we will, and we'll advise. And that's part of the discussions we're having. It'll be left open for as long as we can leave it open. At some point, it might need to be closed to undertake some works to repair it, to upgrade it, to put it back. It might have to go to two-way lights. But at the moment, it's too early to say. But indications are it's not, you know, I have read that it's going to be closed for 4 months. It's not going to be closed for 4 months, is the indications I've got. That doesn't mean it won't close, because if we're going to undertake some works and repairs, it may just have to happen. But we will communicate, be as much communication and notice as we can give, and we're working with Isleworth Council to do that.
Can you just clarify that it is safe? Drive by it, you don't have to worry about it, because there'll be people out there like my mum. She's going, don't go over that bridge. I've seen the picture in the county press. Don't drive over that bridge. So it's okay.
It's okay.
It's open for business.
It's open for business.
Brilliant.
Hasn't been shut. It's still going. You know, it's doing what it's doing.
Could we put airbags under it, Paul, and pump them up into the arches? Is that a possibility?
Well, to be fair, I mean, there's no end of possibility that of things that you can do. But obviously, there's a water course there. It's a main river. It's got triple SI. It's got ANOB. And so for all of those reasons, you can't restrict water flows. And you know, we have to go through a period of consultation. So what we're trying to do is work out a solution that keeps it open for as long as we can. Yeah, there'll be some restrictions on that, and whether that's weight restriction or anything, then that may have to happen. But we'll do our best to keep it open for a period of time. That will allow us then to consult. So the actual works to fix the issue that's on that structure is probably, let's say week or two work, but it might take me 4 months to get there. You know, alternatively, when we come through the design, it could be a month's work.
Yep.
But it still will take me the same period of time to consult and liaise.
Okay. We've only got about sort of 5 or 6 minutes now, and we've probably saved the best till last. Knighton, what's the latest on the Knighton underpass?
If we had an underpass, it would probably be an open road.
What's the latest on it?
The situation is that, as you know, we put £500,000 aside last September to create a scheme for a turning head either side of where the slip is, so that the residents could at least access their properties. So Island Roads went up to start some of that work, and there's a lot of pre-prep work. There's a number of landowners up there, so it's not just one landowner, and it's a triple SI area. And very clear about this, there was a misunderstanding, because our council tree officer was consulted about three trees and gave consent for the trees to be removed because they're part of the scheme in where the scheme's going to be delivered. What wasn't understood at the time was that wasn't consent to work in a triple SI. So it was a slight misunderstanding. However, Natural England are up. They're talking to us. They're talking to Island Roads. They're talking to the authority. They're allowing works to go on, preparatory works, by boring the hole, holes in the road to understand what the geology is now after the slip in 2013. So we need to know what's underneath that before we lay other new roads. Natural England have allowed us to replant the three trees elsewhere in the vicinity, somewhere on the scheme, and we're still waiting assent, because what they've asked for now is for a deeper, more complete ecology study on the habitat there. Although we had one before, Paul will confirm this, I'm sure. We had one before. Natural England are concerned that it wasn't extensive enough. So they've asked us to do that. That's in hand. It's in being prepared. And following that, I think with the indications are a short period of time, they will assent, and we'll deliver the whole scheme, Ian. I don't, at this stage, it doesn't look like there's going to be much delay, not any significant, of any significance anyway.
Okay, so those people that are actually, you know, involved in all of this and going through it all, I mean, is there a time frame on it? I know it's difficult to pluck, you know, timings out of the air, but have you got a rough idea of when the works will, you know, start and be completed?
Okay, touch on what Phil said there, you know, we haven't been stopped. There were misunderstandings in terms of the tree the removal. Part of the SSSI discussions, Natural England, that we're having is that whatever area we take in terms of the scheme needs to be replaced somewhere in there. So geographically, if you take up some greenery and put it into concrete, hard standing, whatever, you've got to put it back somewhere else. That's just part of the normal conversation and dialogue that we have in terms of that consultation. Assent has been given for us to go through and actually continue with the pine holes. We would never stop doing the pile holes. Just to be clear, where the trial holes were being done and the bore holes were being done was not on SSSI land, and we were working our way through. We're not actually going on to SSSI land to do the boring. It's still in the confines to the carriageway. And as Phil said, this is all part of the information we need to be able to assess what that final design is. Only up to the stage that we know what that final design is do we then fully consult with the Natural England to say this is what we'd like to do. Then you have those agreements. So just to get the sort of time scale put into context there, there's no major issue, and I'm hearing reports that we've been stopped work. We haven't stopped work. And the work we're doing isn't the scheme. The work we're doing is preparatory to investigate, know what's there, know that we can actually put a scheme in that is going to be, say, fit for purpose, and will last for as long as we can get it to last before it moves again.
Okay.
So for me, I think it's getting the right messages out there sometimes that maybe get miscommunicated.
So is there a completion rough date that you've got in your head?
The indication, as we said, it was important for the Holloway Council, and Phil's come out and said that it's important to us to make sure we know what this means to the residents down there to get their access, and it is a priority to get done. We need to go through due diligence. We have to go through and consult with people. We have to come up with the right design based on the conditions that we find down there, and that will take time. The intent is that we still get this constructed sort of soon after September as possible as we can, leading up towards Christmas before the weather turns up. If that doesn't happen, it will not happen for a reason, and it'll be the right reason that we have to make a decision. But we can't make those decisions and comments until we know what we find. So, you know, let us do our job. Let us go through. Let us have dialogue with those that we need to, and let's come up with something that will help those residents out.
Absolutely. There's lots of things that I maybe should have asked you. Is there a question that off the top of your head that you think, oh, I hope you don't ask me that?
No, you've asked them all. No,
you catch on quick. Sorry, Bex. Is there anything that you want to be asked that you haven't been asked yet? You think, right, I've got to get that point out there.
I suppose we can do it next time if you invite me back.
Okay, you come
to experience your air conditioning. For me, it will be the PFI project is more than just the roads, and it's more than just the carriageways and the structures and the issues that we have in upgrading the assets. It's about regeneration on the islands. The last time we spoke about £10 million worth of spend, if you like, regeneration with island businesses. We spoke about companies that have employed 11, 12 more people, apprenticeships, equipment, all of that benefits the island. So I'll go no further than that because I'm conscious of time, but actually I think it's looking at the wider picture, the Isle of Wight Foundation that we have, which we set up, and we donate £80,000 a year to good causes that aid social inclusion. You know, all of that is a benefit of the PFI, and so I'd like to, if I can next time, get an invite, we'll maybe have a conversation about that.
Brilliant, sure.
That'd be really interesting, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're doing a terrific job, Paul, I really do. I'm gutted you haven't got any grey hairs yet, because I say, you look at Phil, look at poor old Phil there. final word, Phil. How's it all going?
Ian, it's great. It's going great. Improvement's been made. We're pleased with how Paul's delivering what he's delivering under the contract. We can't complain about that. We're working in the background on some of those issues that I mentioned earlier that are causing us both concerns. I hope we can get those resolved this year. Going to work real hard on doing that, and just looking forward to seeing some more and more and more roads done. And the other things that Paul mentioned, it's absolutely right. Come the winter, he's going to make sure the roads are safe. We're going to gravel and salt and try and keep the roads open if we happen to have bad weather. But cleaning them, keeping our drains clean, that's all assisting some of our villages and our towns from flooding. All this goes on. Not silly, but interesting things like signage. Paul's actually dealing with all the signs around the island, and that's an effective job that needs doing. It's been needed to have been done for a long time. So all this goes on as well as just the black stuff on the road.
Yeah, sure. It's great that you've come in, and hopefully that, you know, people out there are a little bit more educated when it comes down to it, and they won't be quite so moany groany like they have been. So hopefully it's getting better out there for everybody. So thanks, Phil, and thanks, Paul.
Ian,
and
thank you.
Thanks, Gavin. He didn't have a speaking part, but you know, you're more than welcome. And thanks, Bex.